Welcome to the Integral Christian Network podcast. I'm Luke Healy, co-founder of ICN, along with David Pinkston, our co-host, board member, and podcast producer.
Hi.
We're here today. Hi, David. We're here today for a conversation with Paul Smith, our other co-founder of ICN, and we're going to be diving into the topic that he is currently writing a series about around expanded spirit consciousness. So I'm excited to be here to have this conversation, to share in the space of engaging in a state of being, a state of consciousness that is present to all that we're talking about, moving in and through and with it. So with that being said, Paul, let's start perhaps by beginning with a definition. What is expanded spirit consciousness? What are we talking about when we say those words?
Yes, your vocabulary is very important. Let me give two definitions to begin with. One, my definition of consciousness, and the second, my definition of spirit. And they're both the same, except they trade spirit and consciousness. Consciousness is the life force and energy of divine spirit present in and as the spirit of finite humankind. And vice versa, spirit is the life force and energy of divine consciousness present in and as the consciousness of finite humankind. So spirit and consciousness to me are the same. All spirit is consciousness. All consciousness is spirit. So that's where I ended up after studying that for a few years, and That's what I think of when I hear the word spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we had a recent podcast conversation about. What is Holy Spirit? What in the world is Holy Spirit? And we had a whole talk about that. That was really good and wonderful. If you haven't listened to that, go back and engage in that, because that'll undergird a lot of what we're talking about here as we move into expanded spirit consciousness, states of that. Of that consciousness, states of spirit, and how we engage in that that divine consciousness.
Yeah. Consciousness is what allows us to hear each other right now. Consciousness is what allows us to look at the walls and your pretty curtains and see that they're there. That's what consciousness does.
Yeah, but it's more, I love how you put in the words life force and energy. It's not just being awake, right? You're being conscious or unconscious, right? I'm asleep, I'm unconscious, right? There is there are degrees of consciousness of that life force and that energy being present through us, and degrees of awareness. And that leads us right into this sense of expanding that consciousness, of intensifying it, of acting in different states of that consciousness. So what are some of those states? Let's start with the basic stuff. What's our sort of everyday forms of consciousness?
Well, let me begin with a quote from Ken Wilber.
Sure.
Because he said, for those of you listening and don't know him, he's the integral guru of consciousness and the author of 20 books that explore consciousness. He says that if Christianity knew what we know now about consciousness, it would have been included in early Christianity and in the Bible. And he states that incorporating meditative transforming practices is the only way to stop people from drifting away from Christianity. That's what ICN is doing. So we're all about that. So there's varieties of consciousness. There's ordinary, everyday consciousness, and there's three kinds of it. First of all, there's waking consciousness. That's what the three of us are doing now. And hopefully what our listeners are doing now.
If they're not asleep yet, right? No, I'm joking.
If some of them are really tired, they move into the second kind of ordinary everyday consciousness, which is the deep dreaming state of consciousness. That's at night, where the several times in the night we move into dreaming. And in our dreams, we may or may not remember them, but that's a state of consciousness, a subtle state of consciousness. And the third kind of ordinary consciousness, the kind we go through every 24 hours, is dreamless deep sleep state, where we are sleeping and we're not dreaming. We're in nothingness, and that's the third state. And we all have it. We don't remember it because there's nothing there, but we wake up refreshed. And if we don't get it, we don't wake up refreshed. So that's a very healing kind of sleep.
Yeah, and these states of consciousness can be measured using our brain waves and physiological changes, right? Yeah,
that's right. Now, there's a second kind of consciousness that we talk about in ICN, and it's expanded mystical consciousness. And the mystics of many traditions, the Bible and contemporary integralists, point to these states. They call them by different names. They involve mystical, numinous experiences and enlightened perspectives. And they're really important, and they reside in everyone that's listening here already. We're just not often awake to them. And they're often associated with prayer, meditative prayer, and meditation, and so on. And in these mystical states, the boundaries between ourselves and the external world can dissolve, and our ego can dissolve temporarily, because we need it when we come back home. We need it to live. And it's a feeling of being interconnected with all human beings, and sometimes the entire universe, and can be described sometimes as mystical oneness or unity of experience. And we at ICN refer to two kinds of this expanded mystical experience, consciousness. The first kind is subtle awakened spirit consciousness. And that is, it moves from faint, fleeting, dreamlike impressions to intense, trance-like visions, sensations, and auditory phenomenon. And we often refer to this as awakened consciousness, because we are waking up to the mystical reality beyond our ordinary physical perception. And this awakened, subtle awareness includes peak experiences of profound joy, awe, ecstasy, a heightened sense of meaning and purpose, expanded awareness. And we also call it a subtle state, because it represents a more refined or subtle level of awareness beyond the ordinary state. We become more attuned to the more nuanced aspects of being, like subtle energies, emotions, visions, sensations, intuitions, and thoughts. It's associated with increased inner stillness, expanded perception, interconnectedness, gives us access to intuitive knowledge, spiritual insights, and non-ordinary experiences. I might say a little about myself. I have been kind of a nerd for the first part of my life. I was not in touch with my emotional self, my intuitive self. I was raised in a very dysfunctional family. And so I quickly retreated into my head and became the smart guy. I was the smart kid in grade school. I was the smart kid at my class of 500 at high school. In addition to that, I was a concert master of our orchestra, and I was president of the Bible Club and carried my Bible on top of my books, which took some more courage than I thought. But all that meant I was a first-class nerd, and many of the 3,000 students in my high school delighted in reminding me of how nerdy I was. It wasn't until I got out of high school and college that I began to get in touch with myself. I remember in my 20s, my mother read Unity Literature, and they always had a word for the day. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, how does unity know my word for the day? So I thought, I'm going to listen to Jesus give me my word for every day. And then and first thing in the morning, I'd ask him. And very often, the word would be very, very powerful. And I did that for many years.
Yeah, let me stop you right there, Paul. I want to hear more about this, but I want to bring forth something as we're listening to this, as we're engaging with it, looking at these two states of non-ordinary consciousness. Right now, we're talking about subtle awakened. We'll get to talking more about transcendent oneness. As we presence that, as you share your story about receiving that word from Jesus, here we are listening in a state of consciousness and awareness of maybe mentally taking in these ideas, these concepts. I just want to invite us as listeners and the three of us here together to presence as well to this awakened subtle consciousness that, like you said, Paul, is always here, is always within us. So as we're taking this in through our heads, you know, we don't want to have the nerdy, you know, going through all the mental exercise of understanding and parsing this out in a heady way, which is important. We want to understand it. We want to know it, but we also want to welcome our states of being as we presence to this. So we could even just drop into our hearts and maybe a word emerges here for us as we listen, maybe a sense of energy or enlivenment or excitement or something that pulls us into this state of consciousness that we're not just talking about. We're also experiencing it here in our midst. And as you share experiences, Paul, of you moving into that in your past, I want to hear further more with that. And then maybe we can share some of that too. We'll welcome our own engagement in this, in mystical consciousness too.
That's great. That's a great invitation, Luke. And I was in my 50s before I really moved into awakened mystical consciousness. I'm a slow evolver. I had a call from a fellow pastor who was pastor of the local MCC church, K-R-E-N church. And he asked me to accompany him to the hospital visit to one of his members who was a much abused Southern Baptist. And while my church didn't look very Southern Baptist-y anymore, they hadn't yet kicked us out. So I qualified as a Southern Baptist. And the poor guy laying there in the hospital bed was covered with the purple skin lesions of Kaposi's sarcoma, and that marked the end of the life stage of those dying with AIDS then. And my pastor's friend church, 6 blocks from my church, was filled with such dying people. Anyway, we prayed for him a little bit. And while we were praying for him, I wished I had more to offer him than this short prayer. And I was lamenting my lack of spiritual perceptivity. And I had a fleeting glance of a man sitting up in the left-hand corner of the room. And I thought, oh no, now I'm seeing things. And I immediately thought, I'm just making this up. And then I thought, come on, Smith, you believe in spiritual guides. You've just never seen one. Go with it. So I overcame my skepticism, said to the man, using my then traditional angel language, I see an angel sitting up in the corner of your hospital room, and his eyes opened wide. And I told him what the angel said. I no longer remember, except it was very comforting to my new friend who was dying. Mm-hmm. And then 5 years ago, when Luke and I began WeSpace groups, I found myself again seeing spiritual guides doing resonating prayer with our groups. Only this time I recognized what I was seeing. And when I connected with them, they were animated and often talked with me and the person we were praying for. And recently, let me give you an example of this subtle awakened state. Having practiced whole body mystical awakening for 5 years, I sensed a shift in myself all my centers, head, heart, gut, and feet were open now, and I was My head, though, was a little slow to open. So one day, Luke and I meet every week for 2 hours of sharing and praying and meditating. I said, Luke, I want you to transmit your awakened head space to me. And so the minute he started transmitting, I felt a tingling around my head and the top of my head. And it started, and that was, I don't know, several months ago. It hasn't stopped. I now owe my tingly head to Luke. it's a common experience of people who are awake in their mind to have that tingling feeling. So that was great.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Paul. All those stories, that's a beautiful, and yeah, we share in that subtle awakened state together and transmit to one another. And there's a depth and beauty to that, which we can talk more about. I also am really struck by, as you called yourself, a slow evolver, how we all have a journey and a process of unfolding into this. And, you know, it's wonderful to hear. I get to see you experience this in all of these WeSpace groups where you see spirit guides for folks in the other, in the space. And, you know, so that freaks some people out sometimes. There are a little other people like, oh, wow, good. I'm so glad you can see them. I've been looking for them. You know, it's a depth of experience that I want to return to, but I want to go back to kind of that beginning opening experience, that how you entered into it. And as you were sharing, I was thinking about that for me. And when those really started opening up, I remember in college, I had this sense of, you know, spiritual importance and, okay, we gotta do something big for God and we gotta change the world. And, you know, had this grand idea of, you know, making a difference and, taking faith seriously, as, mixed as that was with some spiritual ego. I remember having coffee with a friend and kind of sharing some of these things. And he said, okay, well, what's your plan to make this happen? It's like, oh yeah, well, I'm not sure, but I think we need to pray about it. And he said, yeah, you're right. We need to pray about it. So we committed to praying 40 minutes a day for 40 days. We went to this little chapel, on the university campus, and we started praying. And when you commit to prayer that long, it's not a short amount of time before you run out of words to say, before you're left in the silence. And I had had some encounters with the mystical in through my reading and some idea of contemplation, but I found myself just sitting in the open silent space and waiting for, I don't know, my mind couldn't think of anything else to say, couldn't come up with anything else to offer from my ordinary consciousness. And what emerged for me in that silence, once I sort of gave myself to the spaciousness of it, the first thing that came forth for me was a sense of the gaze of God. And I felt these eyes upon me, looking at me with such tenderness and love. And maybe I'd read about that experience from some medieval mystic or something that helped open me up to that possibility. But that was a transformation for me of going from, okay, I'm going to pray, I'm going to talk about all these things, I'm going to say all these words to God, I'm going to, you know, bare my heart for what can come forth, and received a grace really of opening up to having God gaze upon me and having a sense of that, a faint vision of that. It was more an impression, more a sense of being looked upon and receiving that gaze. David, I'm wondering if you have any early experiences or beginning openings into how you came into some awakened consciousness and what that looked like in your life.
Well, I will share one story. I remember when I was first having massive explosions of what I can now call mystical experiences. I didn't have language for it then, but I do remember one time sitting in my meditation chair in my office in Pasadena, and it felt as though spirit was a sponge that was coming closer and closer and closer to me. And I found myself pushing back against the wall as though I could avoid it. And what I realized was, in a certain sense, certain ego resistances were beginning to dissolve. The sponge, if you will, the divine, this enveloping presence was providing a sense of safety and care and cleansing certain patterns, I think, of my headspace, trying to keep me safe and trying to define reality as I understood it at the time. And when I came out of that, I began to realize when trauma, Paul mentioned his dysfunctional family, I'll mention mine. Post that experience, I began to realize when in meditation states, if a crazy memory came up out of nowhere, which is why I believe one of the primary reasons why people
avoid meditation,
especially in the religious environment, is they know the first thing that could come up are those memories that they've been trying, we have been trying to avoid our lives. Anyway, these memories would come up, and instead of shunting them, trying to attain to some higher state, I began to sit with them long enough to experience God's love in those moments. And then when it was time to be able to situate those memories and those sometimes traumas or frightening experiences and say, all of that, and this sounds so weird, got me here to this space where I can experience grace and acceptance and love and connection. It was almost like the disconnection led to a greater appreciation for connection.
That's beautiful, David. And I love that you're bringing forth an experience that is really present to the reality of life. And I think that's really important to welcome here in this conversation as we talk about states of experience and expanding. And it's not for the sake of having a cool experience. So right. We can just sort of trip out or, you know, have something, although there can be a little titillation to that, that's exciting, and that's okay. Right. That's because it's something more than what we always experience, but we're not bypassing the realities of life to just bliss out or to escape reality or to, you know, move out into these states of consciousness. But really we're entering into life through them because it's more of the fullness of life. I mean, Paul, you got a word for the day, not because you wanted to just have some cool experience, but because you wanted to live your life in conjunction with deeper reality, with spirit consciousness of saying, oh, here's something to carry into your day to affect how you live, to help us presence the life force and energy into our daily reality. And so these experiences, these states that we're moving into, we open up to them in various ways, present to what life is, but they do take practice. They do take something that aren't just going to necessarily come about because we learn about it or think about it or know about it, right? These deepening possibilities, these later experiences, Paul, that you're sharing come from years of practicing in We Space Group, right? Of opening up to that, of being with others who are engaging in the field. So is there anything else you want to say about subtle awakened consciousness, maybe in those deeper experiences? Or are we ready to move on to the next state?
I think we're ready to move on to the second form of consciousness that we talk about, which is transcendent or oneness spirit consciousness. And Hinduism and Buddhism often call this the causal state or the witness state. We call it, from our Christian lineage, awakened. It refers to subtle consciousness and oneness to our embodied transcendent consciousness with God. And I know the vocabulary can be confusing. It's taken me a long time to get it boiled down to a few words that I try to use. But this transcendent experience, you can see it in the Bible, see it in the New Testament. When Peter went up to the rooftop and was praying, he had what he called, he fell into a trance. It's a trance experience. When Paul was in the temple praying, the book of Acts says, he fell into a trance. That was that deeper transcendent state
Okay, so that might be a scary word for some folks. Let's look at that word trance. What, you know, because you get this picture of like being hypnotized or, you know, really zoned out. What do we mean? The Bible actually uses that word trance, right? What does that mean?
It uses it. Well, you can see from the effect it had on Peter and Paul. They both received an awakening, some messages from God, and it moves us into a much deeper place than the subtle awakened consciousness. This is a transcendent consciousness that lets us experience much deeper on that. Mm. And trance is not a word to be afraid of. It's in the Bible, you know. When Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew calls the whole account a vision. Well, what that means is they were in a trance.
Yes.
Jesus's magnified energy. They were seeing guides. They were had a transforming experience, and they were all in a trance. It's okay. If you've been hypnotized in therapy or by some theater deal, and that's a trance, and we can move into that awakened deep state in meditation by ourselves or in a group, and it's very powerful. One of my first experiences, I think I've shared this before, I was doing meditative prayer. Back then I used binaural beats while I was meditating, and they helped me move into this. And
can you say what those are? Can you tell people what those are?
Sure. That's where you have play a recording or music, and you have to use earphones. In one ear, there's the sound that's at one level, a tone, and the other ear is slightly different, and it forces your hearing to combine the two, and that puts you in a more meditative state. And this time, I knew I was in some sort of deep state. So when I opened my eyes, I looked across the room, and there was no wall there. There was a faint wall, and I looked at the floor. There was no floor there. There was a faint floor. Matter of fact, all the walls and everything was just faint. Mm. And it was very disorienting. And so I watched that for a while. And finally, I thought, I think I've had all this I can stand. So I made myself sort of wake up. And later on, when I was describing that experience to Ken Wilber, he said, "Oh, that's one taste." That's what he calls this awakened deep consciousness experience. He calls it one taste. Mm. And that experience, I felt disoriented for several days. But that was a very dramatic experience for me, and very transforming. It said, wow. So I actually saw the transparency of what we call physical reality while I was in the greater reality of unity or oneness, transcendence.
Mm, yeah, that's beautiful. And Ken calls it one taste, and we call it oneness, right? And you mentioned unity. There's, you know, Jesus said that you may be one as the Father and I are one. And that might be a more Christian language in some sense, although we're not going to get hung up on terms because the importance is the experience of it. But a lot of the mystical path in the Christian tradition, right, talks about moving into union with God or this oneness and seeing the three faces of God, right? This participation in the reality of God beyond us, beside us, and being us. That oneness state is a presencing to that reality, as you described, in all all things and through all things and with all things. Words, of course, become a challenge and fail us as we try to describe this state of oneness. But that's a beautiful experience. Yeah.
There's two forms of this awakened subtle spirit consciousness. One might be called a light trance, to use that word again, so we don't get not afraid of it. And that's where we have fleeting impressions. When I was in the hospital room with the guy, I was in this light trance, and I saw the spirit guide up in the corner of the room. And it can affect us just for a brief few seconds or a few minutes. And then there's a deep trance. And I know it's coming on with me when I'm doing meditative prayer. And it takes 2 or 3 minutes before I tune in. And then I have a black space around my third eye. When you close your eyes, of course, it's dark, but this is darker than dark, and it begins to form. And then out of the black space emerges, well, a few years ago emerged people and scenes from all over the world just rapidly going by. And I thought, this is making me dizzy. What is this? And I realized I was being shown the oneness, that I was one with all these people and all these situations, and it was marvelous. And then sometimes I would see these brilliant colors, clouds of colors. And then a few weeks ago with Luke again, by the way, I mentioned Luke because I have the most transforming experiences when he and I are meditating together. That's the power of doing this together with others. We can do something by ourselves, but to do it with some others, especially people who are tuned in to where you are. And anyway, I was with Luke, and so I had this blackness appear in my third eye, and suddenly emerged a woman's face. And I thought, oh, it's Luke doing his stuff again. He knows I'm gay, and I relate better to men than women. So he's going to give me a woman. He has women guides, you know. And so there was this face. It was just a beautiful face shining in the blackness. And we talked about it afterwards. And he said, I wonder if that wasn't Sophia. And it immediately registered that was the feminine presence of God. And it was very powerful. As a matter of fact, it was so powerful. Jesus is my primary guide, but I've never seen him. I have pictures. I have 18 pictures here in my room now, him, and collected 240 that are now in a college in Missouri in a gallery. But I've never seen him, so they made up for my lack of vision. I experience his presence. I feel him touching my arm, but never seen him. I've never seen any of my guides. And so it was quite remarkable that the first guide I ever actually saw was a woman. It was the feminine presence. I think I've entered a new era. It's really wonderful.
I love that. And yeah, that didn't come from me. I didn't bring her. She came to you. I just saw her. And well, and one of the things I love about that so much is like, that these states of consciousness, these ways of being, and like you said, so much can happen, especially when we do that in community, which is the theme of our season this year in the podcast. I mean, it's a foundational identity of who we are in ICN, so we're always affirming that. But one of the things that strikes me, and Paul, you and I have talked about this, is, you know, we're both men. I'm straight, you're gay. We have our life experience. We have how that's come through with our gender. And the traditional Christianity is often steeped in patriarchy and male dominated. And so as we've talked about that, we both have had powerful experiences with the divine feminine and have integrated that in our lives. But it's also something that we continually want to center and welcome and open more, because we're men, because our voices and experiences come through that. And yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about these states of consciousness, whether they be light trances opening us up to faint impressions, or the deeper trances that can move us into to deep subtle experiences, awakening to that and transcendent oneness. They bring forth things that we wouldn't maybe necessarily decide to enter into from our ordinary consciousness, from our mental engagement with what's around us, right? We read books, or we hear things or listen to things. We basically are exposed to what we seek out or what we receive from others in our lives. But these states of consciousness, especially experiencing them in the second person form, with like a presence of Sophia coming, brings something that we can't find in our ordinary consciousness. Maybe it'd stumble upon it. And I'm sure, you know, I know you've read about Sophia and we've had experiences with it, but there's something so alive, again, back to that definition, the life force and energy of spirit. There's something so alive that we can receive, that can be gifted to us, that can be brought to us through entering into these states of consciousness and opening up to what spirit wants to teach us and guide us. And that's just such a beautiful aspect of it. And there's a devotion aspect of that, which we can get into now or a little bit later. But it's just, I just wanted to highlight that because it's so important that, there's kind of a humility with that. It counters the hubris of like, oh, I'm going to attain all these, wonderful states of consciousness and become this spiritual, super spiritual person. Right. No, there's a humility there to, we're opening up to beyond what we can control, beyond what we know and can expect. And that's, delightful. It can also be a little terrifying, or you know, lead us into shadow and areas that we might not rather go. But that's the devotion aspect, right? That we're presencing, we're receiving in these states of consciousness a deeper engagement with God in all of her forms, and what she wants to teach us and bring us through that in direct experience, not just in reading about other people's experience or things that happened in the past.
Beautifully said, Luke. My first published book I wrote in 1996, 25 years ago, and it was "Is It Okay to Call God Mother?"
I love that book.
And the best I could come up with then, though, was calling God Mother. It took me 25 years to see God as Mother. Once again, it takes me a long time, but I stay at it, and that's really transforming. It's like when Peter saw this vision of all these animals that he was not allowed to eat because they were taboo, and God said, "You can eat now. They're all clean." And he argued three times with God. Well, my taboo was women. So here I had this beautiful vision of Sophia, and now I have a deeper connection with women. I've noticed that in everything I do, I feel more deeply connected, and it's really transforming me. So these are life-changing events.
Absolutely. And there's some ways that you have entered into them, that David and I have entered into them, right? Various practices and forms. And each of us are a little unique, right? In how we come into those and what we need, maybe informed by our personal stories, our traumas, our backgrounds, our proclivities, our personalities. So we don't want to ultimize one way of entering into it, right? Or that it has to look like this, or that you need to see spirit guides, or that you need to, you know, have this experience of seeing through the transparency of physical reality. There's lots of different ways that this can manifest and look. So, Paul, do you want to share maybe some other ways, some varieties of mystical consciousness and ways that people enter into these states and what that might look like for some folks?
Yeah. Let me mention devotion. Devotion is my word. The old word used to be worship, and I've let go of that one because it's been abused so much with medieval images of bowing to a king and all that sort of I'm unworthy stuff. And said devotion, which is a pathway to higher consciousness. Devotion means we engage our emotions and we move into our heart space and we love God. We love Sophia. We love Jesus. And the stronger the heart feeling, the deeper we move into this form of awakened and oneness consciousness. And so I think devotion is a path. Let me mention what we're doing here. We're talking concepts and we're inviting people to experience. But the first thing often people are able to do is read and hear about things that are psycho-spiritually active. And at ICN, we emphasize experience over thinking. But thinking is a way to start. We can begin, we do lots of thinking about these experiences. We can read what people have done. We can listen to podcasts like these. And we can begin to develop a yearning and a longing for these experiences in our reading and our listening. And that's a way to start. Listening to this podcast is a way.
Yeah, and those yearnings and longings are not bad, right? They're not. Sometimes there can be a voice of like, oh, you know, your ego is wanting to have these big experiences. Again, just want to counter that voice, because it's not about the experiences themselves. It's about them as pathways leading into devotion, to love, to God's presence, to a way of living. So, yeah, just want to affirm that again.
And at ICN, our primary practice, our foundational practice, is whole body mystical awakening. You can get a look, lead you to some more about that. But doing that, and Luke and I get to do it not only day in our own practice. For me, it's most days of the week, not every day. It's like running on a treadmill. I can't do it every day, but I do most days. and then we get to do this with all the new groups two or three times. And so there'll be some weeks where we'll meet with three or four groups and be able to do a whole body mystical awakening with them. And it's so much more powerful in a group. It's really striking how powerful that is. And in addition to that, Luke has just introduced an evolution of whole body mystical awakening, which he calls whole body mystical presencing. And I think that's wonderful, because it's called me to be more aware of that any time, no matter what's going on, I can begin to presence God's presence, my guide's presence, and move into that state of presencing that awakens me. And it so I don't have to wait for my 20 minutes in the morning or wait for my group. And that's a wonderful step forward.
Yeah. And we'll put you can go to the guided meditations page on our website, the homepage, to find recorded meditations of whole body mystical awakening. And that is more of like a meditative practice, right? A 20 minute set apart to enter into that state more deeply, more fully, to presence that in our embodied ways. And then, yeah, whole body mystical presencing is to take those times, not just as set apart and maybe when we enter those states more deeply, given more time and practice, the more that we've done that, the more that we, especially as it's embodied, the more that we can feel that in our embodied presence in any moment. And so we bring that forth, whether that's through our heart, whether that's in our body, in some way that presences that reality, kind of like I invited us to do earlier in the podcast, right? We're listening to this in our mind, we're in our ordinary consciousness, pause, maybe not even a pause. The more you do it, it just boop, it just pops. It's just like, oh, here it is. Like, oh, heartfulness. Here it is, presence. And that can look a lot of different ways. But that's how we, yeah, one of the ways that we can integrate that, that these state experiences are not just something that take a long time to enter into. The more we engage with them, the more immediately apparent they are. As Paul said, these centers are always open. And so it's just almost like opening this inner eyelid of consciousness to be with that, that way of experiencing reality. So
I just want to say also that I don't want to define this on Luke's behalf. You've done this already, but I want to maybe nuance it in the way that, that I experience it, and I'll give an everyday experience. I just did this at the store before we recorded this podcast. If for me, the way that I tend to experience whole body mystical awakening is that the I that is in this temple, this body, is practicing greater and greater and greater awareness. Whole body mystical presencing is a more conscious and more and more conscious effort to presence that with others. And so, like today, in my egoic state, I tend to be quite shy. And so if somebody wants to chit chat or small talk or just do something really quick, like being at the store today, I might just say what needs to be said so I can keep doing what I was doing. Instead, I turned fully towards her and took in her presence and presenced to her. And we ended up engaging in this wonderful conversation where I even misunderstood what she had said, and it led to a great laugh. But in that moment, I was bearing witness to this divine being that was in front of me. And marveling at her majestic presence in this world. And I don't want to speak on her behalf. I don't know her. I don't know if she experiences her life that way. But I experienced her that way. And I wanted to be more presenced to that dignity that was in her. And that's a different state of consciousness. That's not just a waking consciousness where I'm putting on some kind of extroverted mannerism, but it was a way of being fully there and expanding my presence to envelop her. If this is some, you know, again, adding to the conversation.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
And you knew you were in that awakened state because your senses were heightened.
Heightened.
You were more aware of her and what she was doing. That's wonderful, David.
Yeah.
Let me mention a few other ways we can get into this state. A simple way is just by being aware of our breathing. I will be going along and suddenly realize I haven't taken a breath, I don't think, recently. And so I'll take a deep breath. And I have a trigger mechanism. Whenever somebody says something profound, or I'm in a state that calls me to a deeper self, I shake. And I try when I'm in public not to shake around, look weird. But oftentimes when I pay attention to my breathing, I'll start shaking, which means that's exactly what I needed to do at the time. Another thing that's helped me and helped those people who maybe come from charismatic or Pentecostal backgrounds is a prayer language. I'll use my prayer language. It's a way of praying that doesn't involve your head. It comes from your heart. It uses non-word words. And so I will do that, and it just moves me immediately into this presence. And this, I know my Pentecostal brothers and sisters, when they move into that in their worship service, they move into a higher state of consciousness, a trance-like state. And so that can be a very powerful avenue to that.
Yeah, and in the spirit of, as we've been talking about, engaging in these states of consciousness and not just talking about them, first I'll invite our listeners to take a deep breath. And just that act of breath, spirit Breath consciousness is another way you describe it often, Paul, because that is also a big part of the life force. So we can be in that state just through breathing. And then as we talk about prayer languages, I wonder, I mean, you know, there might be some listeners who have never heard a prayer language, who have never experienced that. And maybe on some goofy YouTube video of a big, you know, arena or something where it can look a little strange. I know the three of us all have engaged with prayer language in our lives. And it's something that we do because it immediately helps us move beyond the rational mind, right? It enters us into a state of heart flow. And so I'm wondering if we might feel open to just doing that here for a few seconds, to show what that sounds like, to feel that in our bodies, to welcome it. It might be a little weird. It might be something that some folks might have never heard before, but I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, let me give it a purpose. Mm-hmm. Prayer language is an excellent way to transmit. Mm. And so I would see us, the three of us, using our prayer language to transmit to anyone who's listening to this podcast, spiritual energy and awakened consciousness. Would that be okay?
Yeah, David, would you be up for that?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll just move into a little bit of prayer language transmission here now.
We bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, can I go ahead with a few more? Okay. another thing that helps some people is primal beats or sounds. I know one of my friends is trying to find a drumming group because he responds to that. And we used to do that in my church. And it can be a chanting group or mantras or sound baths. Another thing to do to move into these awakened consciousness states is gazing, spiritual gazing. That's when we look at an icon or a picture and we focus on it for 5 minutes or so. Sometimes our eyes will glaze over, my eyes will glaze over. And when they glaze over, the picture starts to move and I move into a different state. We can gaze at one another right here. Luke and David and I are looking at one another. And we can, if we had the time and I could stop talking, we can gaze at one another, which is a profound experience. Just to gaze. When Luke and I used to meet before COVID and before he had kids that had diseases, we would meet in my apartment and we would move up close to each other and touch one another's heart and gaze at one another. And that was very, very powerful. Mm. So spiritual gazing at one another or at yourself in a mirror. Have you ever looked in a mirror and gazed at yourself? That's very, very powerful.
Without interference, I might add, just to get truly gazing at oneself, the eyes through which I see the world is the, you know, the eyes through which God sees me, as Meister Eckhart put it, you know, truly taking oneself in as fully human, fully divine. It's a great gift. Keep going, yeah. Paul. Yeah.
Yeah, it is, David. Beautiful. David, I love you so much.
I love you too.
So there's spiritual gazing. There's also visualization. Some people like to go the realm of closing their eyes in a comfortable position and begin to visualize light or Jesus or a guide. And that can be very, very powerful. Also, you can use binaural beats that I mentioned earlier. I used Holosync, which you can put them on and they may help move you into a deeper state. And then to me, the most powerful thing you could do is do whatever practice this is with at least one other person. The collective. Jesus said, when you're by yourself, I'll be there. No, he didn't say that. He said, where two or three are gathered together, I am there. When I always ask myself, well, Jesus, you're supposed to always be with us. What's the difference? And he said, I can be there in a more powerful way. Yes. When there's two or three of you. Yes. And so doing this in a collective, find two or three others or join one of our We Space groups to be with some others who can, you can move into these meditative states in a powerful way using the energy of the whole group. So that's my my biggest recommendation, is don't be a lone meditator. Don't be the monk in his cell. Don't be that person in the pew who's sitting shoulder to shoulder, really basically alone. But get in a heart-to-heart space and do whatever form of meditation you do, and let the collective power and transmission of the group move you further along.
Absolutely. I've probably told this story before on the podcast, but I remember such a transformative moment for me was when, as an Enneagram 5, as an introvert, as someone who liked his alone time and still does, I did much of my spiritual journey in the inner space of my own private interior. And I read a lot, and I did visualizations, and I had all these forms of mystical practice. You know, I shared about the gaze, receiving the gaze, which was sort of a visualization and a gaze practice. In the chapel all those years ago, and I was there with someone else. He was there praying with me. We committed to it, but we weren't praying together. We were both in our little siloed experiences. Yeah. And we would talk about them afterwards, and that was nice. But as I continued along on that individual path, there came a point where I heard a voice say, "You can go no further alone." And I was like, what are you talking about? I live in community. I do all of these things with other people. I'm all about, spiritual community. But I knew underneath that, no, God is talking about the interior of my experience can go no further alone, because our aloneness, our separateness, our individuality isn't the whole story. It's an illusion, right? We have that deep transcendent oneness state of consciousness and reality that is more of the fullness of the way things actually are, right? I do have a uniqueness. I do have my individuality, but it's only a piece of the larger wholeness that involves collective. It involves we, and it involves all the ultimate transcendent fullness of the universe. And I needed to go beyond my little individual interior space and what I experienced there. And that opened up so much. I mean, that's what led me into We Space, which is the term. What that means is the shared interiors. So not just people sitting in a circle, having a conversation in ordinary consciousness. It really is about entering these states of consciousness in deep ways that have a shared interior, that have this sense of energy that people can sense and reflect and relate to, like, oh, we're having the same inner experience now in real time at the same moment. And I'm seeing things, you know, when Paul and I are meditating that he is experiencing and seeing at the same time. So that is an essential element to, because it enhances the capacity that each one of us have personally, and it's a more deep participation in the way things actually are. So that I just, you know, always like to share that story to reflect that invitation to anyone else who might feel ready for that, even if you're introverted, even if you're someone who tends to be more private, because we can sometimes have this sense of a preciousness of these sorts of experiences and we don't want to share them. Maybe we've shared them before and someone didn't understand and looked at us funny and we felt weird, or maybe even caused us to question whether these things were really true or not. There's so many benefits and ways that doing this in a collective enhances our participation in these states, and how that can then transform us personally and collectively.
And I'll maybe add, in the Enneagram training that I received, a common phrase was, because Luke, you and I tend to talk a lot about being wired as introverts. Our personality is what shows up when our presence does not. And it's not a bad thing to have a personality. We all have it and it's necessary, but the personality is really there to serve our presence, not the other way around. When we are presencing, I want to tie in a little bit into some things that Paul shared too, as a way of wrapping up is, this is going to be a little esoteric way of circling the subject, but when we listen to iAwake technologies or binaural beats or any of those things, we are incorporating both sides of our brain. We can move into delta states, theta states, alpha states, all sorts of states, and not usually the more complex states are where we start to experience maybe certain phenomena. But that phenomenon is always channeling relationship. And it's not, if our interpretation process is what's at stake when we have these experiences, and there is a little bit of a stake involved there, and we won't get off into that subject, but people help us refine those interpretations. If I have a spiritual experience and it's only about me, I'm missing out on a whole plethora of inclusivity and kindness and careness and connection with others. But when we presence these things, it doesn't exclude anything. It includes everything, and it moves beyond to transcend and include. And so in this particular conversation, I do want to extend an invitation to our beloved listeners, our seekers, and our lovers that move, presence, be invited to be the full divine human being that you are, and know that God is loving you, sustaining you, growing you, connecting you, that when you have authentic relationships with people, you are being healed perhaps on levels that you might not even be consciously aware of. I've experienced this with Luke and Paul, and I've experienced with others. I love our ICN network. When I connect with others, I always feel like I'm a more complete person for it. So I just want to bear witness to the moving things that you've shared in this podcast, Paul. Thank you.
That's a great benediction, David. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I feel benedicted.
So yeah, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. And thank you, David, for that good word. And just a beautiful conversation and presence to these states of consciousness and ways of being. Thank you both.
Thank you.